Let us go to chapter 3 of Ephesians. Verse 1, for this cause. And I believe the cause that Paul is talking about is in these first couple of chapters. For, you know, all of these wonderful blessings that he points out and the wonderful provisions and the riches. It's for this cause that Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And that's exactly right. Paul was a prisoner of Christ in behalf of the Gentiles in order to deliver these marvelous messages that he is delivering to them. In verse 2, he says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, a dispensation is the way that God deals with men during certain eras of time. In fact, time is divided into seven dispensations. And God has dealt differently with man in each of those. We have the age of innocence, and the age of conscience, and the age of human government, and promise, and so on down the line. We are living in this church age. And notice what Paul says. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given unto me, given me to you. The gospel of the grace of God, this dispensation of the church age, was committed into the hands of the Apostle Paul. Now, there are those of our day that say, you speak too much of Paul. Paul wasn't the Redeemer, and Paul certainly knows that. But God committed into the hand of Paul the truth for this entire dispensation. It is no accident that Paul wrote over a half of the New Testament by himself, because God gave him a very special message that was completely unique to any other message. Now, he tells us a little bit about that as we go on down through here, because Paul didn't just dream this up out of his own volition. God revealed it to him, but there was a certain way and certain reasons that God did that. So Paul was given the dispensation of the gospel of grace throughout this entire age. He is the apostle to the church, just like Peter is considered the chief apostle to the kingdom. And they have two different messages. Well, in verse 3 we read, how that by revelation, and you see it was by revelation. Paul tells us in Galatians 1:12, he says, I wasn't taught it. Men did not teach me the message that I am bringing to you. Now, he had sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and he was very much familiar with this teacher of the law. But he did not learn this message from Gamaliel at all. He learned it by revelation. As we found over there in the book of Galatians, God took Paul back out into the wilderness of Arabia for about 3 years. And as I said when we studied that chapter, I believe that was with reason. God had to take Paul back to the place where the law was given in order for him to understand why it was given, because he didn't know. Jesus tried to put the law in perspective when he came. And he said it very succinctly. The law is fulfilled in two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two, the whole law stands. They didn't understand it, and of course, Saul of Tarsus didn't understand it, but God took him out there in the wilderness to reveal to him why the law was given, and he passes that on to us, as we have seen before. And so God gave to him this revelation of the church age and the truth concerning it, gave it to him by revelation. He made unto me, known unto me, the mystery. You'll find him mentioning that mystery in chapter 1:10, as he says, as I wrote afore in a few words. Verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, Paul is not trying to set himself up here as the great one. I want you to understand my knowledge. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I want you to understand the same knowledge that God has given to me. This is the purpose of every pastor and teacher. They are to pass along the wonderful message that God has revealed to them. There are none of them that are to hoard this message. We are not to keep it to ourselves or to have someone look up and just stand in awe of how much we know. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to stand and to declare the message so that all men can have the same knowledge that God has given to the Apostle Paul. And so he says here, I want you to understand my knowledge. And notice it is in the mystery. Now, he will go into that in verse 6. We'll see it here in just a moment. He will enlarge on this mystery that he's talking about. But the thing that we need to understand is it is a mystery. A mystery is something that is not just wide open for everybody to see and is just so plain. A mystery is something you have to search for. As we have brought out before, Jesus spoke truth in parables. He spoke them in mystery form, and the reason he did that is to separate those that have an ear to hear from those that don't. If people do not have an ear to hear, if they do not have a heart to understand, they will never know and understand the glories of these mysteries. God must have a heart that is submissive to Him if we are going to understand the deep mysteries of God. And we can understand those mysteries. There are no locked up portions of the Scripture that we cannot understand. I have heard people say, well, now Revelation is a closed book. Nobody can understand. That's not right. God intends that we should understand those wonderful mysteries, and we will if we have that heart as Paul did, as John did, and other words of faith have had. So Paul wants us to understand the mystery, and you will notice it is the mystery of Christ. We must understand the mystery of Jesus. And that means more than just Jesus came into the world and died and went back to heaven. It includes all of the glorious provisions that God has given to us in Christ, and they are inexhaustible. We will spend, or should spend, the rest of our lives on this earth learning all of those glorious mysteries or provisions, that abundant wealth that God has given to us in Christ. Verse 5 is such a very interesting verse. It was this mystery which was in other ages not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. He is talking about the other ages that preceded this age of grace. And if you will look at some of those ages, there were some powerful men in those ages. There were some spiritual men in those ages. Talk about Enoch, and we speak of Noah, and we speak of Abraham, and we speak of David, and so many of the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, and so many of these, Zechariah. All of these men understood, Daniel, understood great mysteries, but they did not understand the mystery that God revealed to Paul. Because he had it closed up until the revelation of it during this church age, and he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. Notice in verse 6, here's what the mystery was. That the Gentiles might be, number one, fellow heirs. Number two, of the same body. Number three, partakers of the promise in Christ. By the gospel. This was a mystery that was hidden all those years in the Old Testament, and God didn't reveal it until the Apostle Paul came on the scene. And you will notice, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And that is where we find out the mystery that God is talking about here is through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereof, Paul says, that is, this gospel is why I am here. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. Now the same thing is true in our lives. The only way that you and I are ever going to minister in any capacity is by the grace of God. And the more of the grace that we have, the more of the ministry that we're going to be able to accomplish. And that is exactly the way it was with the Apostle Paul. And he speaks of such marvelous grace that was revealed to him. He speaks of the things that he had to go through in order to get that grace. You remember at one point he cried out to the Lord that God would remove this thorn in the flesh from me. He said, I besought him three times, and God didn't reveal, God didn't deliver him from the thorn in the flesh, but he did say this. He said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, Paul learned a great matter of the depths of the grace of God through this thorn in the flesh that he endured. It was because of this grace that he was able to minister this same message unto us. And so it is because of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given. Being less than the least of all saints is not an option. Paul had to take that place. He had to go down into that place of being less than the least of all saints in order for that grace to be given. Scripture plainly tells us that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The more humble we are, the more grace that we are going to experience in our lives. Now, we've said again and again, humility is not standing up and telling everybody how humble we are. Humility is a state that only God can truly know and understand. Humility is a state that God brings about in our lives by the things which we experience. Now, it may be expressed and manifested to other people, but it is God who truly understands the depths of the humility that we are in order that he might give to us the marvelous grace that Paul is talking about here. So unto me who am less than the least is this grace given. And notice what that grace was for, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is getting back to those marvelous mysteries that God revealed to him. And he had to have such grace in order to accomplish that, in order to effect that, or to put it in actual operation. Verse 9, also, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now, the fellowship here is to participate. And that means that God wants us to participate in this mystery. Christianity and running to win the prize is not something you can do from the sideline. It is something you have to participate in. You have to be a part of. And so Paul is wanting to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Notice further, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. Now this is why I say that, you know, it's just the marvel of God's Word and the marvel of the power of the Holy Ghost, because this message that Paul preached was hidden in the Old Testament all along. And those of that day, as spiritual as they were not given the eyes to see it because it wasn't time yet. But when the fullness of time was come, God threw back the veil, and it was Paul that saw this marvelous church age and the message in the Old Testament. And once we see it throughout the Old Testament. We see the marvelous message of Christ right from the Garden of Eden. It is in type. And so we see in that, even in the very first few chapters of Genesis, how that Adam is only a type of Christ. Eve is a type of the bride of the Lamb. We find out that their experience is a type of the redemption that we have in Christ Himself. All of these mysteries Paul saw whenever he began to look at those Old Testament stories and scriptures, and he brings many of them to light, those preaching Christ in so many of his writings. And so all of these indeed were hidden in the back in that day. But notice verse 10. To the intent. God had a purpose then, and God has a purpose now. To the intent that now, that is, during this church age, now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And you see, it is the church that is spoken of here, because the church is the one that is seated in the heavenlies in Christ. The church is the heavenly body of Abraham's seed, just as Israel is the earthly body of Abraham's seed. So to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known, and the word by is better translated through, that they might be known through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. And that is exactly what God has done. God is putting His wisdom on display in us who are of the church, and He is putting it on display to the principalities and powers. God is showing Satan himself, even through our lives, the manifold wisdom of God. You and I are being used by God exactly to say, in your face, Satan, because see, the devil from the very beginning has been against God and has tried to destroy God's masterpiece. And he has never and will never be able to do it. And God is putting us on display as an absolute proof of his manifold wisdom. Notice further, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church, the Gentile, they were not an afterthought with God. God purposed all of this in Christ before the world ever began. Before he even created Adam, he had all of this in mind. It was his eternal purpose. And it was in Christ Jesus our Lord, verse 12, in whom, that is in Christ, we have boldness and access, notice, with confidence. We know that we have a right into the very presence of God. We do not need to come tentative before God. We do not need to come as though we were going to be cast out or didn't have a right to be there. We come with every confidence and boldness before Him. And once again, it is by the faith of Him, the faith indeed that He gives to us, as we have seen before, that gift is indeed a gift of God. And we come to God with the same faith that Jesus came with when he came before him. Wherefore, Paul says, because of all of this message that I've declared to you in these last few verses, all of these different things that I've told you about the provisions and purposes of God, because of all of this, Paul says, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations. Why? Because this is the very purpose for which God chose me. And of course, these tribulations are going to come as a matter of course. So don't faint because of them. It is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are a number of prayers that are recorded in Scripture. We did a study on the prayers of Paul here a few years ago on the Wednesday evening service. And there are just some marvelous prayers that Paul prayed. And We can learn much about our own prayer life and the way to pray just by consulting with the way that the Apostle Paul prayed. And so